Welcome to Out There with TJ Ryan. It's strange. It's unusual. It's mysterious. It's out there, out there, out there, out there. And now your host, TJ Ryan.
Time for another program of Out There. My name is TJ Ryan. She's been on before. Her name is Debbie Tibbles. Now I know her a little bit better because I was kind of thrown into the fire before, which it was a nice fire, by the way. It kept me warm. But she is back to talk about her book, which is coming out October 15th. We talked about that before. How you doing, Debbie?
I'm doing good, TJ. How are you?
I'm fabulous. And the book is called All Aboard. It's the story about Oliver Tibbles, your son.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And it's going to be out the 15th of October. You'll even have a book signing coming up. And you even have a new website, don't you?
Yes, I do. DebbieTibbles.com.
And what do you have on the site there? What can people find? Information about the book? Information about yourself?
Yes, all of the above. I'm very excited about the site. I've never actually had my own personal website. I feel kind of celebrity-ish, kind of. But yes, people can find out more about the book, All Aboard, How Ollie Tibbles Became a Train.
Isn't that something? How he became a train.
Seriously, right?
Now, if you'll notice, one of us has a little bit of an accent. And I got a Youper accent maybe there, but I'll tell you what. Debbie is from England. What part of England were you from?
Well, I was born and raised in Kent, England. That's known as the Garden of England. Beautiful place right on the coast there with the White Cliffs of Dover. And I lived in central London for 20 years before I relocated to this country, about 12 years ago now.
Now, what kind of life did you have over in England? What was that like?
Very comfortable.
Was it?
Very comfortable life, initially, yes. I was born and raised in the rural part of England, very rural, very kind of closeted community and old school community where people tip their hat and say good morning as you're walking down the lane taking the dog for a walk, you know, where people meet at the local pub every week to exchange gossip and all of that good stuff. And it was a challenging childhood, I have to say, yet things worked out in the end. You know, our paths are there for us to walk. And whatever comes across our path is always there for a reason. So there were some challenges, yet
you had, and I don't want to pry into anything I shouldn't, but you had some difficulties, right?
Yeah. As a child, my parents divorced when I was 5, and I had some difficulties with my stepfather, and the whole family did. He was an alcoholic, and you know, I did suffer some abuse as a child, and it's funny because we talk about why things happen in the world and, you know, what happens to us and question. And like I say, I truly believe things happen for a reason. And I think what happened to me as a child helped prepare me for what was to happen to me as an adult, as a mother, which was to be my biggest challenge.
You know, and at the time, I'm sure you didn't feel that way. At the time, you're thinking, why is this happening?
Oh, yeah.
And then it's funny how you can, if you can manage to get through that ordeal and look back, you start to see why. If you can piece it together, you can see why this is happening. So do you believe that, and we'll get to Ollie's story in just a moment, do you believe there's a greater lesson or greater reason for all of this?
I do. It's been a fascinating, confusing, emotional, spiritually eye-opening, an awakening of sorts, and it's taken some time to get there. Yet I do think there are lessons in everything we do in life, and that there is a higher place that we're still trying to learn about. And it wasn't that I actively sought that out either. It was through personal experience that I became aware of something bigger going on, something bigger than me, bigger than all of us, and it was kind of shocking because my background actually as a child, my grandparents were very involved in the local church, the religious community, and with all the trials that I went through as a child, I really turned my back on all of that because I was one of those people that would say, well, wait a minute, this isn't right. If this is how it's supposed to be, why is this happening to me? If there is this, so there was a lot of confusion.
So now, all these years later, and it sounds like you probably went through a phase where you didn't believe in God or struggled with what was being told. How do you feel about the Creator now? If you could define it.
Oh, gosh.
Which is easy to do.
Oh, well, yeah. Bloody hell, you've really put me on the spot. Well, I think he or she or it or what, you know, we can call it Fred, we can call it God, we can call it Mickey Mouse. I think it has a sense of humor, that's for sure. And I think it's really all I know, because I don't know that there's one thing. All I know is this feeling. It's a feeling that surrounds me. I feel it in my body, and it's really a feeling of compassion, of love, of, it's an indescribable faith of simply knowing it's there. I mean, it's very hard to define.
Would you just say that this being is a being of love, or
being of love? It's a being of love.
Even though there's been a lot of grief in your life, you still feel that this is a being of love.
Absolutely. I have more love in my life now than I've ever had, and I never thought I could ever say that. And I truly feel grateful for everything that I have. And it's a continuing journey. I mean, my journey isn't over yet.
Well, those of you that maybe didn't listen to our first interview, Debbie talked about her son, Ollie, who passed away at the age of 7. He got cancer, I believe, when he was 5. She has 2 other children. I actually just met your daughter, Jessica, right? She was just in here a little while ago. And your other son, I'm trying to think of his name.
George. Yeah.
Proper British names, I might
Absolutely.
And so the story is, and I didn't want to do the interview exactly the same, but you got to hear the story because the book's called All Aboard. And if you go to our website, DebbieTibbles.com, you'll be able to, it's DebbieTibbles.com, right?
Yes.
You'll be able to, and Debbie is spelled D-E-B-I, right?
That's correct, yes.
So don't spell it the wrong way or you won't find it. But we'll have a link on my site here so you can go there. But the story is, when did you first find out your son was ill? He was...
Well, the story truly, there's stories within the story. How I even came to write this book in the first place is a story in itself. My son, it truly began when I asked my son when he was 4 years old, before he got sick, like, you know, just as we all do as parents, I asked him what he wanted to be when he grew up. And he told me that he was going to be a train. And
he wasn't a train conductor or engineer, a train.
That's right. And so, of course, you know, me thinking the mother that knows it all, I thought he got it completely wrong. And I said, you mean you're going to be a train driver, Ollie? And he said, no, mummy, and looked at me like I was completely nuts and said, I'm going to be a train and I will be someday. So we just had a good laugh about that and it was all forgotten about. And then, cut a long story short, when Ollie was 5, he was diagnosed with a brain tumor, dropped to the spine. It's actually called medulloblastoma. And he struggled for 2 years and sadly lost his life. During that time, actually, when he was alive, he did have a wish granted by the Make-A-Wish Foundation to be a train engineer for a day, which was just an amazing experience in itself. And it was just wonderful. And when my son had passed, I had a moment which... was quite profound when, because of course, you know, I was a complete mess and I was one night after downing maybe 2 or even 3 bottles of wine and pills and whatever I could to try to sleep, I heard a voice in my head and it was Ollie and he was actually singing. And he was singing about being an engine. And it's actually a song from it. So for all of the listeners out there who have small boys that, like Trains and Thomas the Tank Engine, you'll know the song I'm talking about. It's from the Thomas the Tank Engine series.
Can you give me part of the song? You don't have to.
Oh, my God. Oh, okay, here we go. So I apologize right now. But, yes, it goes. So he was singing, and he was singing, oh, yes, it's great to be an engine as you speed along, puff, puff, puffing along all day.
Now, how clear was this voice? Was this like something like, is it like you and I talking right now?
Very clear. Very clear. And I remember thinking that, first of all, maybe the alcohol was playing tricks on me, and I kind of poo-pooed it, you know. And then, but he kept singing, and then he spoke, and then he spoke to me, and then suddenly I find myself having this conversation with him. It was very clear. I wasn't asleep. I was having trouble sleeping. I was completely awake and just enjoyed the experience of talking to him.
And what was he trying to tell you?
He said to me, "Mummy, I love you always and forever," which was something he always used to say to me. Mm-hmm. And he said, "And you have to tell them." And I said, "Tell them what?" And he said, "You know."
Did you know?
Nope. And didn't know what the heck he was talking about. And he carried on. Then off he goes, la, 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 carries on singing. And for reasons I now know, which you will have to read the book to find out, what happened next was I went downstairs, turned the computer on, and I typed the words "all aboard." And it was the beginning of my writing this journal, going back in time to during the time when Oliver was sick, and I saw so many different things. And it was during the time of writing this book, I didn't even know it was going to be a book at the time, but I began sharing it with many people, and one of which was the Make-A-Wish Foundation. I shared it with my dear friend that was working there, who was the major events coordinator there. So she read that, and I finished it. I thought I had finished it. I just put it to bed, got to the what I thought was the end of the story. And a year later, I got a phone call from the Make-A-Wish Foundation, and they asked me to be the guest speaker at the Make-A-Wish Grand Ball. And I was very nervous about that because I'd never spoken publicly in my life. And I said, "You must be crazy. What are you thinking?" And she said, "Well, no, please think about it." And she said, "I think I have some news that may make you change your mind," because I was having second thoughts. And she told me that the event was going to be held at Union Station in Chicago, which is where Ollie had his wish.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And to be a train driver. So I thought, okay, here we go. And then the second thing she told me was, you know, the other thing, Deb, she said, "I have to tell you, is that we've had the invitation printed that's going to go out to all the patrons. And it says on the front of it," she said, "and I've just got goosebumps, on the front of the invitation, it said, 'All aboard.'"
Mm.
For the Make-A-Wish Foundation Grand Ball, because we did not know at the time the location or anything.
Right.
So that really was the decision that made me that. So I agreed to speak at the ball, and fast forward to the ball, I did my speech, and at the end, the chairman of Metra Railway stood up and said, "Well, Deb, we have a surprise for you and your family. It came to our attention of your son's true wish to actually be a train. And so today, we are going to release into service Engine 401, and will bear the name of your son, Oliver Ollie Tibbles." So he was right.
He was right. And this is all taking place in Chicago. Now, Deb has since moved to Upper Michigan, and she actually lives in a town called Rapid River. And I'm guessing it's quite a change compared to...
Yes, it is. It's a slightly slower pace of life. I enjoy it very much, though. I love the tranquility. Very spiritual place.
I think so, too. Mm-hmm. And what do you feel makes it that way up here? I mean, I guess it's different for everybody, but I'm always curious.
Well, I think it's that I've met some very interesting, open, very spiritual people. That makes a big difference, because when you meet these people and they share stories with you, it reaffirms for me that A, I'm not going completely nuts.
Mm-hmm.
When I talk about some of the spiritual presence that I get, some of which are not just my son.
We're talking about spirits.
Yes.
Ghosts, if you will.
So for me, it's really wonderful that you can be in a place where people don't think you're crazy, and you can sit and share with somebody a story, and people are nodding their head and understand how you're feeling.
Who thought you'd move up to Rapid River?
Yes.
And you'd be able to come into a radio station and do this kind of kind of a show,
yeah,
talking about these kind of things. Mm-hmm. And everything, you know, like you were telling me before, things have been lined up for this to go in motion, mm-hmm, and you really feel that. And that's the same with this show. We got to take a break. Debbie Tibbles, now living in Rapid River, DebbieTibbles.com, DebbieTibbles.com. And she's my guest this week. We'll talk a little more about All Aboard and maybe some unusual things in just a moment. When we first did our first interview, basically I knew nothing. And our friend John wanted it to be that way because he thought it would be very interesting once I found out the story, which it was. But as far as doing an interview, it's tough when you don't know nothing about what's going on. And then when I found out about her son, and he died, and they named a train after him, and it's just, and his spirit comes back. And you know, Debbie, from what I can feel, still is going through a lot of pain, and who wouldn't? And she doesn't have all the answers, and she's still piecing it together, but she's got the courage. But what's really cool about all this is the love that crosses, which I've been trying to prove on my show and tell you about. Yeah, maybe the UFO thing didn't prove that so much, but I've been trying to prove that they're on the other side, and they're right here with us in my own experiences. And so death is not a thing to be... I know it seems like it's overwhelming, but it really shouldn't be something that's feared, and it really shouldn't be something that should be sorrowful, because our spirit continues to go on, I believe, for all of us. Even if you're a rotten son of a biscuit, you might have to do some chores, let's put it that way. Now, the UFO interview I did last week, how is that bringing us to a greater understanding? And I would say we have to, there are things going on that many of us are not aware of. And I just feel it's important to make you aware of that. But also understand that it's all part of a bigger picture. And also, it also has a place in this universe. And it's all part of a divine order. So none of it's by accident. And there are answers to all these things. And I think the greatest force in the universe is love. Next week, I talked to, thanks to Anya for letting me know about this, a fella who I believe is a researcher, a scientist, and may have found something, and I think it's with Alzheimer's or dementia. It's a natural herbal thing that can affect people's health. And I think it, as I recall, it has something to do with, I really should know this, shouldn't I? I forgot. But that'll be our interview next week with Mark Underwood. Thanks for listening, and feel free to share your thoughts and comments.
Hi, this is Linda Godfrey, author of The Michigan Dogman, Werewolves, and Other Unknown Canines Across the USA. You're listening to The Real Dogman, TJ Ryan.
Debbie Tibbles, it's All Aboard, and the book is going to be coming out October 15th, so those of you that are listening to this at this point, and of course a lot of people will go back and listen to these at different times, so it may be out by October 15th, you'll be able to get it from Amazon.com, and anywhere that you look for books, I'm sure you'll be able to pick it up. It's an amazing story. When I first heard it, I believe pretty much anything. I'm an open mind to things. I don't, you know, you want to be open, but you don't want to be too open, because then you're gullible, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so when it comes to spirit things, I have no problem with that, because I've had a lot of that in my life. Maybe like the Sasquatch things I talk about, people might not. But as you get to explore that more, too, you start to realize some people really have experienced something. And something that I think this show is really all about is the spiritual connection in all of this. And I think people look past that. Oh, I was abducted. I was taken aboard a ship. It's like, but maybe there's something more to it.
Yep.
And it's so easy to focus on just what's in front of us. So your book has a lot of that. When we talk about a deeper, it's not just about a boy that lost his life at seven, touched many, many, many hearts. You said he was an incredibly positive, joyful spirit.
Yes.
And what I wrote about the
still is.
And he still is. Mm-hmm. And but when he was in the human form, and he touched so many people. And if it would have been that, that would have been an incredible story. But then to go on and become this train. Now, I remember talking to you before, and I don't know if we mentioned this in the last interview. You had told me how some people, by just being on that train or seeing that train, had been touched by it.
Yes.
Do you want to talk about some of those things and whatever other direction you want to go?
Yeah, that's true. The impact, you know, all aboard, I think of all aboard as in terms of humanity and while we're all here, as all aboard the journey of life with love, you know, because it's what we came here to do. My son came here to give me a gift. I didn't know at the time.
It's not a gift when it happens at the time.
No. And there were layers with this gift. And the journey of that and unwrapping that gift during the time that my son was ill, and in particular, more so after he passed away, because that's when the gift truly came. It allowed my world, especially my spiritual side of me, to really open up. And in writing the book as it happened, it's funny because earlier I had mentioned about how I thought I had done the book. I had finished a year after I wrote it, put it to bed. And I never pursued it, never pursued a publisher or anything like that, because it wasn't ready, because things had yet to happen, one of which was Ollie becoming a train and how that all came to happen. And people that see the train, experience the train, it happens right on time. I've had people say to me that, I remember a woman in particular who has four sons, all of whom have been in jail. I think actually at the time, one of them was still in jail. And she'd been having a particularly tough time, and she pulled up at the a long line of traffic and was cursing and generally getting pissed off because the railings had come down and there was a train coming and she was going to be stuck in traffic. Well, it was Oliver's train. And as his train passed, she sat there looking. She didn't know my son. She didn't know the full story. But she knew immediately it was a little boy. She told me that because what happened was she went home, she Googled the name, because if you even just Google the name, there's a ton of information that comes up and tells you the background of the story. And she was touched and reached out to me and said, you know, I realize now how grateful I am that my sons are even here. And I called them all and told them how much I love them.
And it's so, you know, there's such a powerful message, because as we all face things, myself included, and you get caught up in emotion, and maybe people are doing things you don't like, and they shouldn't be doing. Mm-hmm. But what is it trying to teach you? Mm-hmm. What is the great lesson in all of this?
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of it has to do with forgiveness. I didn't talk to my father for 9 years. Mm. I didn't see my father for 9 years over a ridiculous row. And this is just one of the things that I learned personally, and people that have read the book already have learned the many lessons within the book. There are some quite profound moments in there that will quite frankly knock your socks off. They knocked mine off big time, and it allowed me to really go inside myself. And you know, it comes down to, it seems so simple, and yet it's the hardest thing in the world to, you have a choice to be happy or not. And that means bringing forgiveness into our lives. I mean, why do we get caught up in being proud and being right? Do we want to be right, or do we want to be happy? And it's the most difficult, one of the most difficult things that we have to deal with.
And I've heard it put like, we're always fighting with our ego. And people hear ego and they think, oh, you're full of yourself. It's not that. Ego is what's around us in our conscious state.
Yes.
And it really is trying to look out for us, but it's it's kind of an idiot because it wants to take control of everything, and it takes offense to things, and it also thinks it's too proud for things, or it's always right. And when you can remove that, and sometimes you need a jolt to remove that.
That's true.
And you and I were talking about this before the interview. I think if you're on that spiritual journey, you're going to get that jolt. Yeah. Now, many people go through their lives and they don't lead this kind of like what you did. And so you wonder, well, how come they don't experience that? And my response to that is they don't want to. And when you want to, and maybe you don't even realize it before you come here, but that's what you had planned. Would you agree with that statement, Debbie?
I do. I think that it was a fascinating conversation we were having actually before we came on the air. We really should have taped that. I think that we're all... I can't remember who said the saying, but there's a saying somewhere, there's a quote somewhere, and I may not be quoting it, you know, per se, but it's something like, we are not human beings, we are spiritual beings on a human journey.
Right.
And I truly believe that, and I feel that, you know, we often have these kind of these deja vu moments or feelings of having been somewhere before or having a very, very deep connection to a person that we met just 5 minutes ago. So I think that the whole, you know, I think our souls, I think as human beings, we're vessels on a journey, and our souls are here for the period of human life. And there's a reason why there's a, you know, we're born into a body for a purpose. We all have a purpose here. And in, to a degree, you're right. I agree with the some of the choices we make will either allow that path to open, or it will close it off, like a door being ajar or
and
closed.
Do you think? Because we talked about this before, so I already know the answer. Do you think that if we get it wrong, if we don't learn, do we get another chance? Do we come back around?
Yeah, certainly. I think that That's part of the purpose. It's part of the journey of did our souls get it?
Yeah.
You know, and we're being given a second chance. Thank you. You know, really. I truly believe it, because I felt many times, and I've spoken to other people who've had the same similar experiences where they felt they've definitely been here before. I've met people who said, I know you from a time way back when.
Weren't you Mary Queen of Scots at one time? You really remind me. I'm just kidding.
That's funny.
I didn't like the beheading part, by the way. That was my neck's a little sore still.
Well, you know, the name Deborah, because my name in my, and only my mother calls me Deborah, but my name Deborah, D-E-B-O-R-A-H, in Hebrew means leader. She was a fearless leader. Interesting.
You know, and a couple other questions I wanted to ask you about. This book also, I guess you could say it's got ghosts, or if you want to call it spirit activity, because Ollie comes back, and he, your son George actually witnessed him, right?
Yes,
and
yes.
And your daughter did as well.
Yes, they both did. This is going back a few years. My son at the moment, George, is 16, and actually both Jessica and George share their own feelings in the book too, which in, you know, today as they are. I remember it was about 2 weeks after my son had passed that I remember one night I heard the sound of a toy train. It was in the middle of the night, like 2 o'clock in the morning. And I heard the sound of a toy train in my son, you know, in George's bedroom, which actually was the boys' room then, right. The both of them. And so I thought my son was playing with the trains, and so I went in to tell him to be quiet, but he was tucked up in bed and there were no trains, there were no toys on the floor, it had all been put away. So, but he was awake and he was giggling. So I said to him, I said, Georgie, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, you need to go to sleep. And he said, well, I'm playing. And I said, you are? And I'm kind of looking around and there's nothing on the floor, and I'm like, you're playing? And he says, yeah, I'm playing with Ollie. I said, oh, really? You are? And, you know, and I wasn't really that surprised. And so I just, so I said, well, where is he? And he said, oh, he's on the ceiling. And I said, well, you need to tell him to go to bed too. Did you? Because you've got to get up for school in the morning.
Did you believe him at the time?
Yes, I did. Because actually, Ollie's presence was was felt by everybody, including the cat. I mean, yeah, she would do things that she would only ever do with Oliver.
Yeah, you told me about that before.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, it was all around. He knew that the family needed him.
And eventually he moved on from there.
Yes.
Right, and he's doing other things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you look at, this is a very unselfish being that's willing to leave this planet at 7 years old,
mm-hmm.
so he can give us, all of us, really, a chance to wake up from our slumber. And our slumber, to me, is the daily routine,
mm-hmm.
and maybe getting upset with people and losing sight of what's really important, and that is
yeah.
unconditional love. And it's hard to have that when you've got some people really annoying you.
Yes.
But, yeah. you know, they're trying to teach you that as well.
Yeah.
And so by becoming this train, which Ollie chose, you and I believe this, and many others who've heard this story, that he's given us a great opportunity to just now see him all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny how we need reminders.
That's
we all need reminders mm-hmm. of who we are. Now, so his spirit right away is moving into another place. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes people, I don't know what you believe exactly when people pass, but it seems like there are those who get stuck and there are those who go right away.
Mm-hmm.
And then there seem to be those rare ones that know what they're going to do and mm-hmm. they do it right away. And they're mm-hmm. hanging around and they're making a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't explain why some can do that. Are some just more aware?
Well, I didn't know. I felt the same way. And there's one moment that is particularly profound in the book where that became all too clear. And then I understood. And the moment itself gave me personal, incredible peace for me personally. And it allowed me to see what was in the future for my son too. Of course, I'm not happy that my son died. I mean, I would much rather have him here and, you know.
That yeah. really tore you up too. And you're still
yeah,
dealing with it.
Yeah, I mean, there are days when I still have, you know, that's the other thing about grief is accepting and knowing that grief never goes away. It doesn't matter how many years pass, it stays with you. I think of grief as my friend, even when it really gets to me sometimes. I've learned to embrace it, not to fear it.
Right.
And yet this particular moment was incredible for all of us. It allowed a lot of peace for my whole family, not just for myself. It allowed me to heal as a mother even before he'd gone, because I was literally waiting for him to die. So it was an amazing moment. And now I know where he is. I know what he's doing. I know what his path is. And that it wasn't in vain.
And probably nobody's is in vain, really.
Mm-mm.
We don't know the whole view of everything.
No.
But, you know, I think, and to maybe go get off the subject a little bit, but, and it really is related to this, but throughout history, if you look at history, there have been those that have come along and been messengers. And that's kind of how I see Ollie, is that he's a messenger. He mm-hmm. wanted to be a messenger.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you get your message across? Generally, you have to leave early and you have to draw attention
mm-hmm.
or people will forget about it.
That's true.
And perhaps that's what I believe Ollie's trying to do. He's mm-hmm. trying to get the message through to all of us, which is, that's great. I didn't want to play that role, so I'm glad he's doing that.
Well, yeah, and you know, and it's funny because that you're right, the message, and that's what, you know, that night when he came to me and he said, you have to tell them. And I said, tell them what? Well, I know what he was talking about now. And so the message is paying it forward. I think that's what we all came here to do, is to pay it forward in our own unique way. We all have the same message. How it's delivered is different. You know, here you are with your voice on the radio. That's your delivery. That's how you get your message. Here on your website, there are other people who deliver via a book, maybe, or as in a song, or
just being
themselves. Being themselves.
And touching people and on an individual basis.
Yes, and it could be through just a simple, kind gesture.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, all these small things amount to big things.
It's there to get us, I think, on a path that we've swayed away from.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're also involved with a thing called My Wake Up Calls.
That's right.
If people are interested in that, they need to go to mywakeupcalls.com. Is that what it is?
It's my motivational wakeupcalls.net. They can actually find the link on my website as well, though.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And what this is, Tom and Robin Palmer, who we both know and have worked with, have put together these motivational wake-up calls. Yours is a good grief wake-up calls, right?
Yes, that's right. These are messages that we created, that I created, I wrote and recorded with yourself, I remember. Good grief. How messages of healing for those that have suffered loss and how much good can arise from the grief.
You know, and unless you've been through it, like Debbie has, and all of us will go through it somewhat at some time, at different levels, you really can't be an expert on it until it happens to you. And what's unique about her story is that most of the time it's not this clear. Somebody passes, we don't hear from them again. Maybe there'll be a little bird that'll land on our porch one time and, oh, I think that's Dad. He showed up here.
Yeah,
you
right.
know? And so we might be lucky to get that. Or, you know, maybe we'll see a glimpse of them in their rocking chair. Was that Mom? You know? And most people will get just a short, tiny bit.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been very fortunate.
I've been very lucky.
And maybe it's just by design, too. It's like... And maybe also it has a lot to do with desiring it as well.
Well, and you know something else that really blows my mind is the fact that when they release this engine into service, it runs from Aurora to Chicago every day. It's the Metra passenger train, so it's being really, really useful. But what blows my mind is that engine will be in service for 52 years.
Hmm.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
I mean, all the people that are going to see that train, look at the name and wonder who it is. So it just...
And you wonder how many other things are going on, too,
mm-hmm.
that we don't pay attention to.
Exactly.
How many others have come and gone before us and have left a message, or even are around us right now,
mm-hmm.
and we don't always see it.
Exactly. You know, it's like, this may sound macabre, but I like walking in graveyards. I like looking at all the names. I make a mental note of the age of when they passed, and some of the messages they have written on the gravestones, why those messages are there, what you know. And I wonder about that person.
I'm always fascinated by, not so much walking through the graveyards, but as for when I watch history and I see people's lives
mm-hmm.
from different times or read about them in history, I don't know what it is. It just grabs me because I want to know, what was it like? What was it mm-hmm. like? I have such an interest. And maybe there was a time... By the way, we're talking about reincarnation.
Mm.
Maybe there was a time that I lived in that period. You were telling me something, and we'll throw this into if you don't mind, that you had felt that you had lived in a different time.
I have, yeah.
And what time do you think that is?
I have this feeling that it goes, I don't know the century. My history is really poor. The kind of Joan of Arc era.
Really?
That kind of time. It just, there's something about Joan, I don't know. It's weird. I just know that it's a time where there's no transportation. It's a time of war.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I know, that it's a time of war. And I'm not even sure what my purpose, I know that I was there in some way to help the people. I don't know in what capacity.
You don't remember being hot at all? it's a little warm here.
Oh, that's a bit. You know, I was. No, I'm sure I was. I see myself as I don't know why. I've got this feeling that I would have been one of those secretive people that smuggled people out and did things like that. Mm. I don't see myself as being one of the...
So there was no stakes involved?
No.
A little warm.
You never know, though. You never know.
Are you building a fire down there?
Yeah, exactly.
What are we eating? What's for supper?
I like croissants.
How would you like it done?
Yes.
Oh. Well,
no, it's interesting. It's fascinating. I you know, I know you're the same way. I just find people fascinating, period. I mean... I love talking to people from all walks of life and all ages. I'm particularly fond of our older folks because they have so much to share,
right.
So much wisdom in life and experience, and they don't care. They don't care about what people think. They're willing to talk
That's
to you.
That's part of, and this you know? Goes back to what we talked about earlier, ego.
Mm.
They've let go of the ego. My mom was like that towards the end. She would say stuff, and she was always a sweet lady, but I'd say, Mom, what do you say? She'd be in a restaurant. She'd take a bite of food. Oh, that's not very good. You know, she wasn't trying to hurt people's feelings. I said, Mom, can you keep it down? No, this is for this some reason, this time it's not that good. And she was just being herself. And she goes, you know what? I don't care. And it wasn't a case that she didn't care. It was a case that she didn't worry.
Exactly.
She just spoke clearly, like we do when we're very young. It seems like, and then as we get older, and in between we don't.
No, it's terrible. We allow, I think, I totally understand what you're saying there. And I think as young people, as children, we have the same mentality when we're older too. We are free of the restrictions that we ourselves place upon ourselves as adults and society. We worry too much about what people will think of our actions and what we say. And you, when you're a child, you don't care. Because you don't know.
Right.
And when we're older, we don't care because we do know.
Right.
And so we learn from that. We realize it's not worth it. And there's more to life. And that actually people love it when you are just who you are. Mm-hmm. Without an agenda, without the ego, without just sit and be. And
right.
You know, it's and the freeing experience.
It is. And this is something that I would say in my own life in the last few years. I mean, I don't think my ego has ever been real huge, but I know it's there in all of us. It wants to control. It wants to be right. That part of the ego, not the he's got a big head ego. I'm talking about the part that controls us. And the more I find I let go of that, boy, you just feel great. And you don't worry what others will think about you or say about you because you know in my heart, that you're putting your best foot forward.
Yeah.
It's out of love. Once in a while, it might be out of anger if somebody ticks me off. But most of the time, it's out of love. And even then, I feel bad afterwards. I don't want to hold that grudge with somebody.
Well, that's so good, too, you know, because what you just said, it's almost like ego puts its foot out and trips you up. But the fact that you trip up is the fact of you saying, oh, I know, I'm sorry, I realized I tripped. Do you know what I mean?
Right, exactly.
So I think, you know, I think it's a good thing sometimes to have ego there to trip us up.
It teaches us, I guess.
Yes.
Well, we're just about out of time. Is there any other direction you want to go? Anything else you'd like to say?
No, I think just no. Just
buy
because,
the books.
You know.
Go out and buy 16 copies. All aboard. It's an incredible story. I've never heard a story quite like this before. And honestly speaking, it just will touch your heart. It's sad, but it's also incredibly happy. It's many things.
Thank you, TJ.
And come back again. You're working on a new book.
I am, yes. I'm currently writing my second book, which is called Good Grief, which is more about the some of the things that happened. It's kind of a follow-on to All Aboard, and yet focuses more on how I came to be living the life that I'm living now, which is completely different to the life I used to live 10 years ago.
And maybe someday we'll get, I know your daughter didn't want to talk this time, but I think it'd be awesome. Because we had some things we could talk about.
She will eventually. She's.
And it doesn't have to be about Ollie. I mean, just we were talking about spirits before. And if your son and daughter or whoever wanted to join in, I'm game. I'm game for that. Because, you know, this, if you don't put it out there, a lot of people have their own experiences. And I see it as my job to get us past being afraid speaking about these things. So,
well, thank you.
Thank you very much for coming in, Debbie.
Always a joy.
A bloody joy.
Bloody joy, yes.
Music on Out There, created by Kevin MacLeod.